Hello, this is Kim Penzone, financial advisor with Horizon Partners Wealth Management at UBS in Columbus, Ohio, doing a short rendition for our Keep It Simple 2 plus 2 equals 4 podcast. I know this is a little new. We had a different title and we changed it. And I think we decided to come up with a name that says it best. Keep it simple. 2 plus 2 equals 4, no matter what anyone else tries to tell you. Our goal for this podcast is really just to take David's newsletter, which he's been doing for decades now, and put it into an audio component. So for somebody who might not have enough time to read it, but is traveling in the car and wants to get a quick 10-minute update, it's being read to you. We'll see how this goes. Giving it a try. David does a lot of parentheses in his writings, so I am trying to figure out how to tell you something's in parentheses without saying parentheses, and we'll see how this goes. I might have to give up and say it's in parentheses. And I may add a little color to this as we go, but we'll see. This one's interesting. This is a newsletter that just came out last week, and we are in March now, March 7th of 2024. And David wanted to talk about the similarities to things that have happened in the past and how we're looking at what is happening now and connecting some dots and adding a little bit of storytelling to the markets and what we think for our clients going forward. So here it goes. David starts out with quotes. So the first quote is from Jim Bianco at Bianco Research. And he says, this is very similar to 1999 when everybody said, you have to buy Cisco, JDS, Uniphase, and Microsoft, the biggest companies, because they are the ones that are going to deliver the internet. And it turned out to be exactly the opposite. We have a quote from Warren Buffett. One fact of financial life should never be forgotten. Wall Street, to use the term in its figurative sense, would like its customers to make money, but what truly causes its denizens' justices to flow is feverish activity. At such times, whatever foolishness can be marketed will be vigorously marketed, not by everyone, but always by someone. Another quote from Christopher Hitchens, I learned that the most intolerant and narrow-minded people are the ones who congratulate themselves on their tolerance and open-mindedness. And the last quote from Archie Bunker, meathead, dead from the neck up. So David starts out talking about meathead versus Archie, in parentheses, growth versus value, and Circe's warning to Odysseus. Many of you may have heard me say recently that I did not think I would live to see another tech bubble like the year 2000 internet. Since human behavior does not really change, it should come as no surprise that history seems to be rhyming. There is always a new product or technology, AI or artificial intelligence now, that catches the attention of the public and skyrockets in popularity so much that there is the inevitable talk of the new paradigms, where there is an insatiable demand and unlimited money to be spent to herald in a new paradigm where all the rules related to valuation are suspended because this time is truly different. Despite the overwhelming feelings at the time, it never is. See the attached note from RBA, which is Rich Bernstein Advisors, for a quick look at that. This is an attachment which shows visuals of the buildup of the growth stocks before the big decline in certain decades. And Rich was making the same case back in 2000 when no one wanted to listen. In our note before last, we discussed how most investors started this year pretty much where they were at the end of 2021. Growth investors were down a lot in 2022 and up a lot in 2023. Value investors were down only a little in 2022, but up only slightly in 2023. Everyone has basically ended up in the same place, but with a very different risk ride. The question we asked and continue to ask is, now what? So in this next section, David talks about meathead versus Archie, growth versus value. I saw a meme online recently that reminded me of the 1970s sitcom All in the Family. In it, Archie Bunker is talking to his son-in-law, Mike, who he not so affectionately refers to as Meathead, or dead from the neck up. Mike is putting on his shoes and socks to go outside during winter when there is snow on the ground. Mike puts on one sock, then the corresponding shoe. Archie finds this perplexing and asks Mike why he would do something so stupid. Everyone knows you put on both socks first, then each shoe. What transpires next is one of the most memorable scenes in sitcom history. Archie's basic case is that there are tried and true ways to do things. Mike contends that it really doesn't matter because you end up with two socks and two shoes on. They then go down a rabbit hole about being interrupted by an emergency like a fire while in the middle of putting on these shoes and socks. Archie says that at least you have your socks on to protect both feet from standing in the snow directly. Mike claims that this method would have 1 foot bare, but 1 foot fully outfitted, and someone could stand in the snow longer and hop on 1 foot. This was not deep conversation about the geopolitical issues of the USSR and Vietnam, but it was funny and truly highlighted in a comedic way how two people can do something very simple in completely different ways and how one generation simply cannot understand how or why the other would do it that way. The above scene is a pretty good frame of reference for growth investors versus value investors. Over the long term, both styles or disciplines have proven to be successful and often get investors where they need to be. They just tend to go through periods where one significantly outperforms the other for a period of time, before then underperforming for a period of time, usually right after everyone decides that the other doesn't work anymore. Everyone only needed the Nifty 50, which was the large cap growth stocks in the late 1960s. Only to find out that the can't-miss mega-cap companies suffered through the 1970s, while the things that no one wanted in the late 60s delivered much better returns in the stagflationary 70s, and those things were value, international, emerging markets, and real estate. In the late 90s, the internet and Y2K produced the next can't-miss parabolic growth stocks that were the only stocks one needed to own in this new paradigm. Just in time to see the NASDAQ drop 80% over the next 3 years and take 13 years to get back to where it was in March of 2000. During that time, value, international, emerging markets, and real assets significantly outperformed. So which style is right? The one you stick with. Growth and value are often like Archie and Mike, two generations that simply see the world differently. Neither method is wrong and tends to get two socks and two shoes on, which is the goal. It tends to also be akin to the different worldviews of religions. Usually there's a deep-rooted faith that is unlikely to be converted to something else very easily. Most people do not fluidly move between faiths every few years. This is kind of how the growth and value adherents are. A value investor can't fathom owning something at 40 times revenues no matter how fast the growth is. And a growth investor usually cannot fathom buying something in mature industries that are cheap because of recent problems or misperceptions in value. No amount of counseling will usually get them to change their views because both can point to their discipline working over time. Growth tends to give bigger moves up and down, like 2022 and 2023. Value tends to give steadier returns with less downside, yet less upside. In 2000, growth trounced value when looking back at the previous decade. Value outperformed for the next decade and trounced growth when looking backwards in 2010. Since then, growth has beaten value. When growth outperforms, it seems to be concentrated in only a very few expensive companies. Value tends to do well when the market broadens out and the unloved from the previous growth cycle receive attention and love again. We've always leaned towards value because the risk profile suits most of our clients who are looking to stay wealthy and ride through the ups and downs with less risk to worry about. It's not like we don't own growth, we just own a small dosage because too much in anything is not prudent, and history's lessons is now screaming that this style is at a high risk of reversing course. Again, right when everyone thinks it's the only thing to own. And the last section from David is called Bringing It Together. We continue to live in interesting times, and we should never be surprised by short-term human behavior. But I still am. How long can it last? No one really knows when the emperor will have no clothes. We just know it will happen. It is often said that the best exercise or diet routine is the one you stick with. We view wealth management in the same way. The hard part is not when everything is going exactly as planned. It is when there are significant social forces luring us away from what we know works through good times and bad. The siren song and the perils of Scylla and Charybdis form the ancient text, the Odyssey, are the same now as then. Best to adhere to Circe's warning and stuff our ears with wax and try to encourage others to do the same while we slowly sail beyond the danger. If you are a growth investor, I would take heed and think about pruning or simply preparing for what history seems to indicate comes next. If you're a value investor, stick to your core principles. At the end of the day, like Archie and Mike, we all want to end up with two socks and two shoes on 2 feet. How successful investors get to their goals can vary widely, but you need to stick with your plans. In other words, stay disciplined, stay focused.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.